We are reaching the end, the close of this series of meditations we've been conducting on the supreme greatness of the person of our Lord Jesus. And this week it falls to Malcolm to look briefly at the Saviour as greater than the angels. And in many ways it's a fitting subject, I would suppose, for us to consider. Not only because we are, oh dear, less than a month away from Christmas, during which time many of us will celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus, whose coming was heralded and was celebrated by several appearances of angels, but because it was during one of those appearances that the angel Gabriel voiced the words which have provided us with the title for our series of talks, announcing to Mary, then unmarried virgin, that she would conceive and bear a son. Gabriel said, "And you shall call his name Jesus, he shall be great." And it's from that that we've taken our cue. And the one whose coming that he foretold was and is infinitely greater, not only than Gabriel, but than the whole host of angels, that which the Bible speaks of as the innumerable company of angels. One writer in the New Testament says of our Lord that he is so much better than the angels. I want to suggest that he is most certainly better, most certainly greater than the angels, for at least four reasons, each of which happened to be pointed out to us by that same writer. First, he, our Lord, is what no angel can ever be. The writer made that clear when he asked, "To which of the angels did he, that's God, ever say, 'You are my son'?" Now it's true that angels are spoken of collectively as the sons of God, and you will read twice in the Old Testament book of Job, for example, "There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord." But no angel has ever been addressed individually by God as his son. God declared plainly our Lord's unique relationship to him at our Lord's baptism, when he, God, addressed him directly and individually, and again I'm quoting, "as my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." The angel Gabriel could have said, and said truthfully, "I am one of the sons of God," but only the Lord Jesus can say, as he did on more than one occasion, when here, "I am the Son of God." He is then greater than the angels because he is what no angel can ever be. Second, he has become what no angel can ever become. In Bible days, angels often appeared and passed themselves off as men. For example, Abraham, Old Testament, easily mistook for men the two angels who, together with the Lord, once appeared to him. New Testament days also, angels put on some very convincing performances as men, and yet it is clear that if they choose, though angels can look like men, and they can sound like men, they are not men, nor can they become men. But the Son of God became a man. And this same New Testament writer I've been referring to tells us that our Lord shared in flesh and blood, and that in so doing he took a place a little lower than the angels. Now in his gospel, John records how our Lord once accused some of the unbelieving Jews of his day, "You seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God." He is then greater than the angels because He became what no angel can ever become. Third, he has done what no angel can ever do. The Old and the New Testaments unite in paying tribute to the strength and the power of angels. The Old Testament summons, "Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength." That's matched by the New Testament statement that angels are great in power and might. And yet there were two great works in which angels could have no hand. Two great works which lay altogether outside their power. On the one hand, there was the work of creation. And that writer, he makes several references to this, and he says, for example, that addressing his Son, our Lord Jesus, God said, "You, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." The Apostle Paul similarly attributed the work of creation to our Lord Jesus. "By him," he wrote, "all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities and powers. All things were created through him and for him." That is, along with all else, every last angel was created by, through, and for the Lord Jesus. Creation testifies then that he is greater than the angels. And then on the other hand, there was the work of salvation. Our writer tells us that the Lord Jesus spoke of that of which no angel could speak, namely the good news of so great a salvation. But he did more than speak about this salvation. He was himself, the writer tells us, the author of salvation. Now in Bible times, angels were sent by God on a wide variety of missions. You would read, for instance, in your Bible that God, and again I'm quoting, God sent his angel to deliver his servant from the army of King Sennacherib of Assyria, from the furnace of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, from the lions of King Darius of Persia, from the sword of King Herod of Judea. But angels could never deliver men from that which the Lord Jesus can. Namely, as this same writer explains, from God's wrath, from the devil's power, or from the fear of death. Angels heralded our Lord's birth at Bethlehem. They ministered to him following his temptations in the wilderness. An angel strengthened him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Angels announced his victorious resurrection, and they witnessed his ascension to heaven. But they had absolutely no role to play at the cross. Our writer assures us that it was there, by himself, that he provided a cleansing from sins. In the realms both of creation and salvation, then, our Lord Jesus is greater than the angels in that he has done what no angel can ever do. And fourth, last, he has gone where no angel can ever go. To which of the angels, our writer asked again, has God ever said, "Sit at my right hand"? But the Lord Jesus, the writer assures us, is now seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. In Bible days, to sit at someone's right hand was to occupy the position of highest honor. It still is in many contexts. And it is, of course, unthinkable that any angel would dare sit where the Lord Jesus now sits in that place of supreme dignity and glory. The Apostle Peter once wrote about him, our Saviour, that he has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. For his part, our writer that I'm referring to assures us, and it's my last Bible quote, having endured the cross, despising the shame, our Lord Jesus has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh yeah, he is greater, immeasurably greater than the angels. Not only because he is what no angel can ever be, not only because he has become what no angel can ever become, not only because he has done what no angel can ever do, but because he has gone where no angel can ever go. Small wonder then that the angel Gabriel foretold, he shall be great. Shall we pray?